10. Matthew chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 26 through 31. And out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. Therefore, don't be afraid of them, since there is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in a whisper, proclaim on the housetops. Don't fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent. And even the hairs on your head of your head have been counted. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You may be seated. There's that word there right at the beginning of our passage, therefore. And remember, anytime you see therefore, find out what it's there for. Well, the therefore is there to remind us about what came before. Too often when we read Scripture, we'll take a verse out here and there and not look at the context. Sometimes we get confused. What does this verse mean? Well, the way to understand what that verse means is look at the verse before and after it. And then look at the paragraph before and after it. And maybe even the chapter before and after it. And God's word will be explained as you look at it in context. Some people take verses out of context and try to create a whole new belief system that is contrary to what God's word says. I remember one person telling me, God told me I can ignore that. And another pastor even told me, he said, well, Scripture deals with that issue in five different places, and you just choose which one you want to use at that time. No, if Scripture deals with an issue, look at how all five of them work together. It's not like, well, I'm going to wear a glove, but this day I'm only going to wear the glove on this finger, and this day I'm going to wear it on the thumb, and you just pick what finger you're going to use the glove. No, you use the whole glove on your finger, and they all work together to keep your whole hand warm. Well, God has told us through his word what's going to happen. Now, Wednesday night, we had a video in the beginning of the sermon, the video of the Ray Bolt song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb, and look it up. It's a neat video. It's a guy talking to his son about how things used to be. He said, well, when my dad was in school, he could pray in school, but they took that away, and then they took away everything. And there's come a time when people have had to make a choice, and it's about making a choice to take a stand for Jesus or to back down and listen to the world tell you to stop talking about Jesus. You can talk about all kinds of other things, but don't talk about Jesus. Well, the disciples were told by Jesus, I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. Wolves like to eat sheep. The shepherd is there to protect the sheep from the wolves. That's one of his jobs. He's also leading the sheep to a place to eat, a place to drink, a place to lie down, a place to be safe. Well, Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. You're going in to a dangerous place, like the paratroopers in World War II sent behind enemy lines before the troops landed on the beaches of Normandy at D-Day. They were sent behind enemy lines. We are being sent into enemy territory. Remember, we have a struggle against spiritual forces. We are in a war, a spiritual war. The consequences are not who owns what physical land territory, as most of our wars throughout history on earth have been, but this is where do people spend their eternity, either in heaven or hell. We are trying to get people to see the truth of how to be forgiven of our sins and to be welcomed into heaven on judgment day. Jesus told the disciples, be as shrewd as snakes, but as innocent as doves. Think about what you're doing. Don't go into a dangerous situation just to be persecuted. Saying, don't look to tempt God, saying, oh, God, I'm going to get in this situation. How are you going to get me out of it? No. Look at where God has called you. If he's called you to be a certain place, you stay at that place. But if God says it's time to leave, it's time to leave. Paul got let down out of a window on the city wall so he could go somewhere else, preach somewhere else. Other times, Paul took a stand. There were times when in Ephesus there was a riot. Paul said, I want to go talk to him. He said, no, you're not going to go in there. And Paul didn't go into the midst of that riot because God had other places for him to preach. But there's going to be trouble coming. There's going to be trouble coming when we are trying to proclaim the truth. And I think our sign, we got changed yesterday. The truth spoken here. And if the truth hurts, it's working. The truth is to show us what we need to hear. Now, I am not a perfect person. Sometimes I get my eye teeth or my tongue tangled behind my eye teeth and can't see what I'm saying. And I make mistakes. God never does. We are to always base what we say, what we believe, on what God says. Some people say, well, I'm a Christian, so whatever I say is right. No. Whatever God says is right. There's a bumper sticker. God said it. That settles it. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. God tells us the truth. And he started at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And at the end of Revelation, God has his perfect place prepared in heaven for those that have been forgiven. And everything in between Genesis and Revelation is God working to bring forgiveness for the sins of mankind. God loves us so much that he's done everything that's needed so we can spend eternity with him. And that's the message that Jesus is sending the disciples out. He said, I'm sending you out to proclaim a message. He gave them the words to say. Now, he also said, they're going to throw you in jail. They're going to persecute you. There's going to be persecution from those that are your neighbors, those in your local government, in your state government, in your federal government, in the world. But I'll give you the words to say that they need to hear. Because people need to hear the truth. And God says, I'll be with you. And remember, they called me the Lord of the Flies. That's what Beelzebub means. You might have heard a book called The Lord of the Flies. You might not have realized that it's talking about using a biblical reference. But Beelzebub is a term referring to the devil. It's a title used there. And Jesus says, if they called me the devil, they're going to call you the devil too. He said, don't think you're going to be better than I am. Don't think you're going to be treated better than I am. He said, if they mistreated me, they're going to mistreat you. But since they've done the same thing to me, now, therefore, do not be afraid. A lot of us are afraid of different things. Most of us would say snakes rank way up there with being afraid. Sometimes I can see a picture of a snake, and that's enough. No, I don't even want to see the picture. That's one of the books we had in my pre-K class last year was a book of snakes, and the kids wanted to show me all the snakes they found in the book. Now, I don't know which pre-K teacher that went before me thought it was a good idea to have a book of snakes in the classroom, but they did. And so that was one thing I left behind to the next teacher that followed me when I moved on to my new class. Well, snakes are one thing we fear. But you know, snakes can't do anything about our eternal destiny. They can send us there a little bit quicker if we jump the wrong direction when we're jumping out of the way. You know, you see a snake and you're walking along the edge of a cliff and you jump off the cliff. Okay, that can have an effect. But the snake cannot determine where you spend eternity. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of them. Who's the them? The them is the people that try to persecute you. Don't be afraid of them. Because they're trying to say you're doing wrong. But the truth is going to come out. In the movie, The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and her group were going to the Emerald City. And they saw the Great Oz. But Toto, I got the name of the dog right, went and was tugging at something behind the curtain. And the man behind the curtain was revealed. God is telling us everything that is hidden, the reasons people are doing things, the deception people are making is all going to be revealed. God's going to uncover all the hidden things. There's a lot of people that can fool you. Not too long ago, there was a televangelist that it was revealed it was all an act. One of his college roommates talked about how, he had been practicing this since his time in college. What he was going to do to get people to listen to him thinking he's speaking the truth, and it came out that it was a charade. There have been other Christian, quote-unquote, leaders that have turned their back on Christianity because they weren't truly believers. They didn't fall away. They never fell forward in the first place. They put on an act. They were trying to persuade people. All that truth is going to come to light. And 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says, it will be brought to light by God. Now, we can't see each other's hearts. We can see what we do, but we don't know the motivation why people do things. We can guess, but we don't know for sure. But God does. God knows our hearts. In Jeremiah 17:10, God tells us he judges the hearts. And then Jesus goes on and says, what you've heard in darkness, speak in the light. And that's a reference to, I've been teaching you in small group. You're going to go out and proclaim it in public. The time right now where I've been working with you 12 is preparing you for the time where you're going to go out and be on your own teaching the truth. What you hear whispered in the ear, proclaim on the housetops. Now, an interesting method of teaching by the rabbis at the time of Jesus. The rabbi would have his students standing right here, and then he'd be whispering into the ear of the student. And then the student would preach. He'd whisper something else, and the student would say it. That was a teaching method of the rabbis at the time. So Jesus is saying, what I've been telling you to say, you proclaim. Proclaim my words. Not your own. And then Jesus says, what you have heard as a whisper, proclaim on the rooftops. If you've ever seen a Middle Eastern country or seen films of it, they got these tall towers. And somebody would go up the tower, it's called a minaret, and they'll go up and say their prayers so the whole city can hear. Jesus is saying you need to get where the most people can hear. Let's see. Yeah, right back there, if you look up, when you go outside, you see the stains where it's leaked, but that's another thing, is the steeple. Inside church steeples, there used to be a bell. Old churches still have them. New churches just have the steeple. So everybody could hear the bell throughout the community, calling them to church, calling them to important things. The steeples were there to help the sound go out the furthest distance. Jesus is telling his disciples, what I've whispered in your ear, tell so the most amount of people can hear. I'm preparing you in a small group, but you're going to proclaim it to a larger group. And then Jesus says, don't fear those that can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Once someone's life is taken, they stand before God on Judgment Day. And it's God that determines where we're going to spend eternity. And Scripture tells us that there are two places. There's heaven and there's hell. The word often used in the New Testament for hell is Gehenna, which refers to the Valley of Hinnom. During the early days of the nation of Israel, the Valley of Hinnom had a temple. A temple to Molech. This was during the time after Solomon when they had kings over Israel that weren't serving the true God. Molech was a god that demanded you sacrifice your children. And in the Valley of Hinnom, they would bring their children to be burned in the fire of Molech. And there was lots of loud music so you couldn't hear the children screaming. When there was revival in Israel, the Valley of Hinnom temple was turned into a trash heap. And it became, throughout the rest of history, a place where you took your garbage to be burned. And at the time of Jesus, the fires in the Valley of Hinnom were constantly burning because people were constantly throwing trash on it. So when Jesus talked about the fire never going out, they could look right over there and see the smoke coming up from the Valley of Hinnom. Gehenna is a place the fire is burning. Now, back in the back, back 40, let's call it, behind the playground, there's our burn pile. Now, I'm waiting till it gets that cold weather that Cheryl was asking us to pray for before I light that burn pile on. Because if you've ever been next to a burn pile of dead trees, it gets very, very hot. And when it's very, very hot to begin with, you don't want it hotter. When it comes a little bit later, we can have burn, and Brandon had a good idea, we can all get some chairs out there and roast marshmallows and things around the fire when it gets colder. It's not cold enough yet. But the Valley of Hinnom was a place, the heat, when you go throw your trash on the burn pile, you didn't stay there because it was too hot. And it was a place since trash is burning. If you ever smell trash burning, it doesn't smell real good. So when Jesus used the term of Gehenna, he was referring to a place they could see, but also referring to the eternal fires of hell, where Scripture tells us the fire never goes out. In Matthew 25:46, it's a place of eternal punishment. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 10, 14, and 15, let's turn there. Revelation 20. Here we're talking about the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. In verse 10, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And verse 14, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. This is a place that God has prepared as a punishment for the devil and his angels, the demons. But it's a place that those who refuse God's forgiveness will also spend eternity. It's also described as a place there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, because there's no hope of ever getting out. Jesus told about a rich man and another man named Lazarus. Lazarus died and went to paradise. The rich man died and was in the fires of hell. He said, let him, Lazarus, just dip his finger in just a drop of water and come put it on my tongue, because I am in agony. There is physical consciousness in hell, and God doesn't desire anyone to be there. Jesus, back in our passage, says, don't fear those that can just kill the body. Fear him who can kill the body and the soul in the fires of hell. A lot of people are afraid to take a stand for Jesus because they're afraid of people that do not control their eternal destiny. We need to be concerned about what God thinks about what we say. I was reading about this preacher named Latimer during the days of King Henry VIII. He said he had one voice telling him, Latimer, Latimer, you're standing before the king. Watch what you say. But there was a stronger verse, Latimer, Latimer, you're standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be careful what you say. King Henry VIII didn't like what Latimer said and eventually burned him at the stake, because Latimer was telling King Henry VIII what he was doing was not right. John the Baptizer told Herod, it's not right that you have your brother's wife. And he was executed because of that. But John the Baptizer, you'll get to see again if you're a Christian. Latimer, those that have died for their faith are in heaven. The temporary is all that can be controlled by people. God controls the eternal. And then Jesus says, aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Now, a penny, that's not like the value of the penny today. It was about an hour's wages. So aren't two sparrows sold for an hour's wages? And then in Luke it says, or you can get five for two pennies. So just like today, but you buy a little bit more, you get a discount. Well, Jesus says, you think sparrows are insignificant? Not one falls to the ground without God knowing. And the Greek there about falling to the ground can also be translated, their foot doesn't hit the ground. God knows each footstep of the sparrow. God knows when they fall to the ground. God knows everything. He says, even the hairs on your head are counted. Now, it's an interesting thing. Now, some of us is more obvious than others that their hair is falling out. But everybody is constantly losing hair, and it grows back. Just the process of the way hair grows, when it's like with your baby teeth, they get pushed out by the adult teeth. Well, every 7 years, your hair goes through a cycle that a new hair comes out the same place where an old one was. So you're constantly being replaced. Now, I still got hair up here. It's just a little peach fuzz type stuff. It's sort of going the opposite of how your beard grows. Your beard goes from peach fuzz to dark to white. But now on the hair, it just goes to peach fuzz. There's still a little fuzz up there, and they're That's why that commercial where they you take a can of spray paint or you're putting paint, sort of like mascara in a spray bottle to connect with that little peach fuzz so it looks like you have hair to you. To nobody else, no. No. That's why you don't see any of those commercials anymore. Especially if it's going to rain because all that. You know what happens with mascara when it gets wet? Well, if you have mascara on the peach fuzz of your head, it's going to run down. Well, God knows how many hairs you have on your head. He is aware of all the details. He says, you're worth more than many sparrows. God's concerned about us. God loved the world so much that he came to die for us. We need to remember that. Especially when we're challenged to keep our mouth shut when we should be opening our mouth because we need to tell the truth to people. In the 1800s, there was a preacher in England named Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Not much to look at, but a great preacher. Not the most eloquent of people. One person asked him, why are you so effective? You don't have the education other people do. You're a short, fat guy. He was shorter and fatter than I was. But you know. And Spurgeon said, look out the window. What do you see? I see a lot of people. Spurgeon say, I see people that are either going to hell or to heaven. That's the difference. Do we look at people as they're either going to heaven or to hell? There's only two places. And God wants everybody to come to heaven. In Ezekiel 18, verse 23, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord? Rather am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live. And 1 Peter tells us, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But God is not going to force anyone into heaven. God is offering it to everybody. And he's told us to go and tell. We're to be God's messengers. And where Jesus in our passage today says, you're to proclaim from the rooftop, that proclamation uses a specific Greek word that means go tell people the basics of understanding how to be saved. There's another Greek word that's used when you teach them all the details. Proclaim how to be saved. And then once they're saved, you teach them the rest that they need to know about how to live a godly life and to be prepared to tell other people. Choice is ours. Choice is ours where we spend eternity. The choice is ours of whether we tell anybody of how to be there with us. God desires that we tell people how to get to heaven. He doesn't tell us make them make a decision. No, just tell them. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you that we could be here. Let us proclaim your truth. Let us worship your name in our actions, in our thoughts, in our deeds. Lord, let us look at people as needing to hear the truth. And let us go and share with them. Let us speak the truth in an attitude of love. In Jesus' name, amen.